Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The issue of income inequality received a lot of attention during the presidential campaign. We'll be talking about that and its consequences in just a couple of moments. But first, the fallout from that campaign is still very much with us and will likely have significant impact on the lame duck Congress. The St. Louis Beacon's man in Washington, Rob Koenig, joins us now to talk about that and about some new players in Washington from our area. Rob, nice to talk to you again.
Good morning, Don.
I'm wondering at the outset, is there any sense of a new mood perhaps in Washington following the presidential election, perhaps a little less gridlock in our capital?
There's a sense of it, and hopefully in the next 4 or 5 weeks we'll find out for sure if the two sides can agree on at least the mechanism of the deal to avoid the so-called fiscal cliff. That's the tax hikes that would go into effect on January 1st if Congress doesn't do anything. So we're hoping that something can get done, and there does seem to be a change, at least in the rhetoric of the leaders of the Republican Party on Capitol Hill. Whether that translates into reality, we'll know fairly soon.
That's certainly an important first step to get the rhetoric softened a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that Senator Durbin of Illinois, who's a real player in these budget talks, has noticed the change because he's the number two Democrat in the Senate, and one of his duties, I think, is counting votes. And obviously, if there's going to be any sort of agreement to avoid the fiscal cliff, counting votes in the Senate is going to be essential, as it will in the House of Representatives.
Well, tell us about this group of eight of which he is a part and which could play certainly a key role in all of this.
Well, the group of eight used to be called the group of six, the bipartisan group of senators of which Dick Durbin is one. And they've been talking off and on for a couple of years now about how to reach a bipartisan agreement that can be approved by both sides. Now, Durbin, he talked to reporters in the Capitol last week after he was reelected as the number two Democratic leader in the Senate. And he says an agreement or a deal hasn't been cut in the group of eight. And obviously that's a somewhat separate process from the negotiations among the leaders of the parties and the White House to try to reach a deal. I think Durbin's feeling is the group of eight might be able to at least suggest a framework that could be incorporated into the deal that the White House negotiates in the next couple of weeks with congressional leaders.
What are we hearing from Senator Blunt on this, the Republican from Missouri?
Well, Senator Blunt, who was reelected as the number five Republican leader in the Senate last week, he tends to take the party line, which is that, yes, we want a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff. He's open to what they call new revenues, but he doesn't want to see revenues in the sense of a tax rate hike for the upper-income people, which is what President Obama has proposed. Roy Blunt would rather see a revamping of the entire income tax system, which obviously is going to take a while. So what he wants is some sort of an agreement on a mechanism that could be reached by the end of next month that would outline what their goals are and would have an enforcement mechanism just to make sure Congress does what it says it's going to do, and then let the congressional committees revamp the tax system, which is going to take a while. That's not something you do in 2 or 3 weeks.
And Senator McCaskill seems to be a little more openly supportive of the president on this issue, a little more so than she might have been during the campaign, where she seemed to want to put a little distance between herself and the president.
I think so. I think she generally agrees that there has to be a significant revenue component in any deal, and the way that the president campaigned and Senator McCaskill campaigned, and she voted last year, was to exempt people earning less. I think she voted less than $500,000, but the president has proposed people earning less than $250,000 a year from any income tax hikes. That would go into effect in January. That's at least the president's opening position. Now, whether he might compromise on that, I don't know.
And Senator McCaskill, of course, is now one of 20 women in the U.S. Senate. That's got a lot of people excited and a lot of people talking.
It has. It's the first time in the history of the Senate that there will be 20 women. In the previous Senate, which will end next month, there are 17. But two of the Republican women are retiring. And I think it'll be a much more liberal group of women. So in addition to Senator McCaskill, who's thought of here as more of a moderate than apparently she's viewed in Missouri, you'll have like Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, very liberal. Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, the first openly gay senator. She considers herself a progressive. And others. There's only one new Republican woman senator coming in, Deb Fischer of Nebraska. But it should be interesting. I was talking to Senator McCaskill last week, and she was joking that she walked into the women's restroom near the Senate cloakroom, and there are already two senators, and then Elizabeth Warren and Deb Fischer walk in, and it's too crowded already. So they're talking about a way to get an expanded women's restroom near the Senate chambers.
Well, you know, I have three women with me in studio right now for our next segment. They all have big smiles on their face. So I guess it's pretty popular that all this is happening. And speaking of women, we have a new representative from this area, Ann Wagner, a Republican from the 2nd District. We now have three women in the Missouri Congressional Delegation, that is in the House of Representatives, somewhat different from the women you just named on the Senate side.
Yes, all three are relatively conservative. Ann Wagner, obviously representing mainly St. Louis County, 2nd District, and she's well known in national Republican circles because of her previous work with the Republican National Committee. But she scored a bit of a coup earlier this month when she was elected by her fellow Republican freshmen House members to represent them at the leadership table with Speaker John Boehner and others. And that's something that is remarkable. And she worked hard for that. It's not something that just happens out of the blue. She helped send campaign finance money to some of these others. Of course, she didn't have to worry much about her race because apparently it was rather lopsided. But I think Wagner, she's very savvy. Appears to be pretty smart, and she'll probably rise through the ranks. Now, the other Republican women in Missouri, you have Vicki Hartzler from sort of mid-Missouri to western Missouri. She's very conservative. And then you have Joanne Emerson, the dean of the congressional delegation in Missouri from southeast Missouri. She's more of a moderate, I would say, also savvy, and she's the one who gathers the delegation together. It'll be interesting to see the dynamics among the new members of the Missouri delegation. And unfortunately, it'll be one person smaller because the 3rd congressional district, up to now represented by Russ Carnahan, will disappear in January.
It certainly would come as no surprise that Ann Wagner would have a pretty good career in Congress. I mean, she's been so active in Republican politics. She knows the players. She helped Roy Blunt, who of course is in the upper chamber. But it would be expected that she might move fairly quickly.
I think so. As I mentioned, she's well known up here, and she's cultivated the Speaker, John Boehner. She was one of those who seconded the nomination of Eric Cantor to be the majority leader. And as long as the Republicans have the majority in the U.S. House, she can be somewhat influential even as a freshman. Now, I don't know yet what committees she's going to try to get onto. That doesn't happen, I think, until early January. I would think that she'd do well. She's very savvy. She's a former ambassador, former co-chairman of the National Republican Party. So she's someone who could move up in the ranks perhaps more quickly than other freshmen.
Has Todd Akin been heard from since his return? I know they're back in recess now for the Thanksgiving holiday, but what sort of a reception has he had following that campaign?
Well, I haven't talked to Congressman Akin since the election, but others I know who have said he's been somewhat unhappy about his situation. I think he has to look for work. He's not independently wealthy. And he's talked about writing a book about his campaign experiences, as Senator McCaskill also has talked about that. I think that Todd did give his annual Thanksgiving speech in which he praises the Pilgrims and their bravery. But other than that, he hasn't had much of an impact up here since he came back. When I did talk to him shortly before the election, he was somewhat pessimistic about a deal being struck to avoid the fiscal cliff because he thought both Republicans and Democrats were more or less dug in this Congress. But others I talked to were more optimistic.
One final area, I just wanted to point out your article in today's St. Louis Beacon concerning Mississippi River waters. That's been given some attention or being given some attention in Washington. What's going on there?
Well, as people in St. Louis know, the Middle Mississippi, which is basically from St. Louis on down to where the Ohio River comes in, is very low because of the drought, as is the Upper Missouri River. And typically, the big reservoirs in the Upper Missouri will keep a fairly good flow of water going into the Missouri, which then eventually gets down below St. Louis. The problem is that because there's been drought up in the Northwest, the Corps of Engineers, as of next week, is probably going to, you know, turn the spigot way down. So there isn't really much water coming out. And that is going to further lower the levels on the Middle Mississippi. And so the congressmen and the senators from the Mississippi River states, including Roy Blunt and Claire McCaskill and the two Illinois senators, are trying to put some pressure on the Obama administration to order the Corps to allow more water down, because otherwise navigation, barge traffic is affected. So we'll see what happens. As you know, this is an old issue back and forth. You have competing interests up in the northern part. The interest is mainly keeping water up there for recreation and for hydroelectric power, irrigation, et cetera. And in the southern part, it's more a question of flood control and in low water navigation. So we'll see what happens. It should be interesting in the next few weeks.
It's been a tough year for Mississippi barge traffic, no question about that. Folks can get more details on that story and others from Rob Koenig and the St. Louis Beacon at stlbeacon.org. Thanks, Rob. Have a great holiday week, and we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Thank you, Don. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. When we come back, living on a food stamp budget and why a lot of people have to do just that. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.